Jesus was a man who got in a lot of trouble wherever he went. He was in trouble. He got in trouble because of what he said, true. But he got in a whole lot more trouble because of what he would do. And of all the things that he did that got him into trouble, the one thing that got him in more hot water than anything else was his behavior on the Sabbath day. People everywhere he went in Israel would confront Jesus about why he did not rest on the day of rest. People would confront him about why he did not keep the Sabbath as they did. And it's easy to understand why people would criticize Jesus for not resting on the Sabbath. It's because Jesus didn't rest on the Sabbath. In fact, quite the opposite. It seemed that every week, week after week, the day of rest would find Jesus in a blur of activity. Some Sabbaths, Jesus would spend all day teaching in the houses of worship, not leaving until every question was answered. Other Sabbaths, Jesus would heal people of every imaginable ailment of mind or body or spirit, spending all day ministering to the sick. Every single sick person, until there was not a single sick person in an entire town or city, and he was exhausted at the end of it. He sometimes was even seen to lead people out into fields of grain to harvest grain, to feed themselves, doing actual, literal, manual labor on the Sabbath. You can call what Jesus would do on these days many things. You could call it transformative teachings, or you could call it social mobilizations, or you could call it outright miracles. You can call it many things. But it isn't rest. Understand, taking issue with Jesus because he did not rest on the Sabbath, this is no abstract theological quibble. This is not a disagreement about how many angels precisely can dance on the top of the pin. To honor the Sabbath, this is one of the Ten Commandments. This is right up there with thou shalt not kill. It's a part of what makes a person a follower of God, that they follow the Ten Commandments. So, what are we to make of this man, Jesus? This man who seems to work on the Sabbath, who seems to be even more active on the Sabbath than on other days. What are we to make of this man who seems to ignore one of the Ten Commandments? Maybe he's saying that the rules just don't apply to him. Or maybe he's saying that there's something wrong with the rules and nobody should follow them. Or maybe he's saying there's something wrong with the people who do follow the rules. Well, to understand why Jesus behaves in the way that he does on the Sabbath, to understand why he behaves as he does, we have to recognize that Jesus is somebody who knew his Bible. He knew the Bible. He knew it deeply. He knew the Bible backwards and forwards. He knew the Bible more than just through the recall of facts or minutiae. He knew the Bible like a mother knows her daughter, or like a poet knows her own poetry. Knows not just what it says, but why. And when Jesus got in trouble with people, as he often did, when Jesus got in trouble, people had a problem with how he was behaving and would come at him with some verse from Scripture about why what he was doing was wrong. When Jesus was made to think on his feet, what he would quote from the Bible from most often, more than any other book in the whole Bible, Jesus would quote the book of Deuteronomy. Jesus quotes the book of Deuteronomy far more than any other book in the Bible. It seems to me that the book of Deuteronomy influenced Jesus and his ethics more than any other book in the whole Bible. So, what do we learn about this? What is the book of Deuteronomy? It's a book of laws. Deuteronomy is a book of laws covering every aspect of human life, from matters pertaining just to an individual to things that affect whole communities, whole nations even. Deuteronomy speaks to what a person should eat and what kind of clothes they should wear, how a person is supposed to structure their family, or what's owed to someone when they've been wronged, how a whole nation is supposed to live its life, what to do when you're at war with another nation. The book of Deuteronomy covers virtually every imaginable aspect of human life. And it's framed at the very beginning. It's framed by something that serves as its guiding star. The book of Deuteronomy is framed by the Ten Commandments. You can find the Ten Commandments in the book of Deuteronomy. Do not worship any other gods. Do not make an image of God. Do not take the name of God lightly. Observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. Honor your parents. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Do not be jealous of your neighbor. The Ten Commandments. They are a moral code so simple that we can teach children to memorize them. And yet, they are so deep that a person can spend their whole life trying to sound the depths of their meaning and still find there is more to discover. Take the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment, as it's told in the book of Deuteronomy, is observe the Sabbath and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male or female slave or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the resident aliens in your town, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. That's the Sabbath as it's told in the book of Deuteronomy, in the book that influenced Jesus more than any other book in the Bible. It tells us not only that we are to observe the Sabbath, but how we are to observe it and why. First, for 6 days I may labor and do my work, but no longer than that. On the seventh day I must rest from my labor. Second, with my responsibilities for what I must do laid out, the commandment continues to say that none of the people around me are to do work either. Whether those people are as dear to me as a son or a daughter, or they are under my employ, it makes no difference. I must see to it that my rest is not built upon the labor of another. Third, on the Sabbath I am to remember that I am only free to rest because God freed the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. My freedom comes from God, so my responsibility to others is grounded in what I understand God to have done on my behalf. The Sabbath commandment is rounded to an elegant totality. What do I owe myself? What do I owe others? What do I owe to God? God has set me free. God has set me free, so I am not allowed to degrade myself with unceasing labor as if I were a slave. But neither is the Sabbath only a practice for the people of Israel, as if they alone were people of dignity and deserving of rest. No, rather, the commandment to observe the Sabbath is for all people. It is a revelation that God is a God of liberation, that God is a God of freedom, who set the people of Israel free and who abhors anything that keeps people in chains. The Sabbath is a day to revel in what it means to be free, to desire the blessings of freedom for others as well as myself. It is a day to insist that all people taste their fair share of the goodness of what it means to be free. At least, that's what it says about Sabbath in the book of Deuteronomy, in the book that most influenced Jesus. And so it is easy to understand, I think, why Jesus behaves in the way that he does on the Sabbath, why he is at a constant blur of activity every Sabbath day, sometimes more active on the Sabbath than on another day. On the Sabbath, Jesus sees hungry people. And he takes them to harvest grain together so that they can eat. And someone objects, saying, Jesus, you can't feed hungry people on the Sabbath. You're supposed to rest. Jesus replies in word and deed, hunger is a chain as strong as steel that binds people hand and foot. And I'm supposed to wait until tomorrow to see them free? The Sabbath is a day to break all chains. On the Sabbath, Jesus sees a woman struggling under the bondage of a sickness that marks her as a social outcast. And Jesus goes to heal her of the disease. And someone objects, Jesus, you can't heal people on the Sabbath. You're supposed to rest. Jesus replies in word and deed, this woman has been bound up for 12 years in a chain of pain and stigma, and I'm supposed to wait until tomorrow to set her free? The Sabbath is a day to break all chains. Today we are again in much the same place as in Jesus' day. The ability to take leisure and rest. The ability to take leisure and rest does not fall to everyone equally. The labor of raising and educating children, as ceaseless as it can be, is too often not valued as equal in our society to other forms of labor. So people have no rest. People who work with their hands are too often paid so little that they must work several jobs all at once, so there is no rest. Immigrants and those who are not born in this nation must toil in a shadow economy and be taken advantage of so that there is no rest. The rest of those with leisure is not their own. It is the rest of Pharaoh. It is the leisure of Pharaoh sitting on his throne while slaves toil. This is no Sabbath. This is no honor to the Lord who breaks all chains. The Sabbath is not intended for leisure. And thank God, because leisure can be wearisome and isolating when it is part of an endless cycle of working to enrich ourselves and playing for our own pleasure to no end. Leisure can be wearisome, as surely as work. We honor the Sabbath when we remember that God is a God of liberation and God has set us free. We are free. And so God has intended for us more than ceaseless labor. And because God has made us free, we must see that all the children of God are free as well. So if you want to taste something truly sweet of the Sabbath, find a way to be of real service to someone else. Help to lighten the load of someone who is heavy burdened. And you will know refreshment and delight beyond the dreams of avarice. If you abide by the law of God in the book of Deuteronomy, as Jesus did, if you honor the Sabbath, as Jesus did, it will be as if you have walked back through the gates of the Garden of Eden. It will be as if you are walking in paradise again, where the only thing demanded of humankind, where the only thing demanded is that we delight in the goodness of what God has done for all people. If you serve others, if you help to lighten the load of someone who is heavy burdened, you will know refreshment and delight beyond the dreams of avarice. It will be like you are walking in the Garden of Eden, walking a Sabbath day's journey beside someone whose voice you've always known, someone delighted to spend an hour tarrying with you. May it be so.